Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Sam Pets Radio, Australia's coolest podcast network.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of All the Small Games. My name is Andrew Levins, and joining me for the first time, the second time, the third through to the... Are we 80 episodes in now?
No, I think we're about 70, a little above 70.
Okay, for the 70th time, it's Jonathan Valenzuela, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Crowd goes wild.
How's it going?
We are still locked down. We are more locked down now than we were last week. It feels great to see the rest of the world return to... Norm as we plummet further away from it,
but we are more locked down than we were last year. This is like the most stringent lockdown they've ever put on.
No, they still haven't closed retail yet. So they're like, don't go to the shops, but then they haven't told the shops that they're not allowed to be open. So I don't know.
Yeah, that's fair, I guess.
It's stupid.
There was something in the restrictions they announced that I was like, oh yeah, like only one person in the household is allowed to go food shopping per day.
Yep.
Which I was like, I haven't seen that one before. That one sucks.
That's me.
A trip to the supermarket was like a nice thing Joe and I did.
No, it's
not anymore.
No, that was for a while in lockdown last year. But this is not a podcast about comparing the 2020 lockdown to the 2021 lockdown in Sydney. That's going to be a Patreon bonus episode.
Yes, I was about to say, we're launching that on Patreon soon.
This is a podcast all about indie games, and while we may not be able to go outside much, that means that we can only play more of them. So today's episode is going to be about a newly released game published by Devolver Digital called Boomerang X. Our second Boomerang based game in a month, which we've both played. Plus, I'll be doing reviews of some older games, including Duck Game and the re-release of Save Me, Mr. Taco. John, you have an older game as well.
I jumped back into a new adventure that was added to What the Golf recently.
Oh, unreal! So some All the Small Games greatest hits, plus a brand new potential one. Let's talk about Boomerang X. It's a game developed by a company called Dang.
Dang! There's an exclamation point in there.
Yeah. Published by Devolver Digital. It is a first-person game in which you enter battle arenas and have to take out lots and lots of monsters with your boomerang. And as you progress through the game and pass through these battle arenas, you get upgrades to your boomerang, including the ability to teleport where you throw your boomerang and the ability to slow down time as you throw it or aim it.
No, I'm point of order here.
Oh God.
Because this is something that I needed to like train my brain not to think of. You don't teleport to where the boomerang is. You get like flung in the direction you threw your boomerang.
Oh,
if it was teleport, it would completely change how I was playing the game. But I eventually had to learn to be like, no, you can't just throw it there and you'll wind up exactly where it is. Because it kept bouncing off walls, essentially.
Right.
And I'd be like, my boomerang was on the other side. Why didn't I go where? Oh, that's right. I'm not teleporting. I'm just being thrown in that direction.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's funny. I... Like, at the beginning of the game, you wash up on a beach and you've clearly been in like a shipwreck, and you know, you pick up a spear that you had and you throw the spear away because it's broken. You enter a kind of cave and come across a little, like, a bunch of huts, and at the end of the huts you enter a building and you find the eponymous weapon of the game, the boomerang.
Mm-hmm.
I remember thinking, like, why is it called Boomerang X? And then I realized that the boomerang is in the shape of an X. I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
Yep.
Like Levin said, it's an arena shooter, so as you make your way through, like, a large portion of the game is focused around entering these large areas, and you know, a purple crystal will appear in the air in the middle of the arena, and when you shatter it, it kicks off various, like, you know, a number of rounds, where in each round you have, like, certain enemies will have a little yellow circle above them. You need to defeat all the enemies with yellow circles above them to end the round and start the next round. There might be a lot more enemies in the arena that don't have yellow circles above them. You can either defeat them. You don't need to care about them if you don't want. You just got to take out the enemies with the yellow circles.
Yeah, and then you progress. Once you finish a battle arena, you then end up in a cave surrounded by strings. So like lining the wall of these different strings, and you have to throw your boomerang at particular strings to play a tune, because each of the strings plays a different note, and then you unlock a new ability. I found that aspect of it quite cute.
Yeah. There are other, sometimes when you finish an arena, because obviously, like, there's a bunch of arenas, sometimes you unlock more health. So you'll, like, find a little red, little bowl of red liquid on a pedestal, and you'll walk up to it and, like, absorb the liquid, and ding, you get another shield, which is always good.
Mm-hmm.
Other times you run into this little, compared to your character, it's fairly huge, but centipede creature called Tepan. And, you know, when chatting with this centipede, he gives you a bit of story. Not a huge amount of story, like, just kind of talks about, like, hey, I fell through a portal and wound up in this world. Must be same as you. There's you know, the, like, because you are essentially making your way through this, like, dead, forgotten civilization that appears to consist of mantis creatures. I keep thinking, like, the first time I ran into one of them, I was like, oh, Zorak.
totally.
Yeah, it's not hugely heavy on the story, to be honest. The funny thing is as well, like, after the first arena, when I'd you know washed up on a beach to start with, picked up a weapon that allowed me to, like, teleport, you know, like, fling myself around the map, and it returned to my hand and stuff, my brain was like, Olija. And I was like, meh, similarities really end there pretty much.
Wrong
Devolver but
game, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the second Devolver game in this year, where, you know, you're a shipwrecked person with a magic weapon.
Well,
but
funnily enough, the Devolver game that this actually reminded me the most of is Disc Room. In that it is
interesting.
Like,
okay.
Yeah, I guess, you know, a challenge with lots and lots of enemies. You have to, you know, destroy all the enemies before they take you out. One hit and you're dead. At least early on in the game, until you start getting, like, the shields, the kind of health points. Yeah, I found it a little bit like almost like a challenge room kind of style game, which is what Disc Room is.
Definitely, yeah. I know first person isn't necessarily your bag, I think.
Mm-hmm.
How did you cope with it in this?
When it started, I was like, oh, cool, this is fun. Like, you know, crashing on the beach and the kind of the backgrounds and all of the visuals, like, and colors as well, really enjoying them, getting lost in the caves. It gets a bit confusing in parts. What let me down was the enemy variation, at least at the start of the game. It's started to get more interesting now, but the first enemies are just kind of spiders, and then the occasional, like, kind of tentacled thing flying through the air, but it really is just like a circle with some lines off it. All your enemies are black kind of shapes, essentially, and they're very simple. But I don't know, the fact that you're kind of just, like, killing bugs, I was kind of like, oh, that, it just felt like very little thought had gone into the enemy types. I was like, okay, I guess this is fun. And then as I got the upgrades, it became more and more fun. And now I'm fighting enemies that are, like, flying at me or generating other enemies and throwing those at me. There's some that only have particular weak spots. It's cool. It's I think a first player shooter, like first player style game, first person style game like this could be more my bag, but I don't know, the way like you're just kind of like stuck in this room with enemies all around you and there's no way of knowing, the enemies don't make a sound, so there's no way of knowing when the enemies are behind you except for when they get very close to you, the screen starts to get dark near where the enemies are.
It's like a danger warning kind of thing.
Look, I it's definitely like you're way more suited to first person games, so I think, you know, your opinion on this game is the more valid one in this episode. But I think there's a lot of cool ideas in here, and I enjoy the world, and I probably will go back to it. But I don't know, I'm like maybe an hour and a half into the game now. I'm sure it feels like a relatively short experience, like around the 3-4 hour mark. Have you finished it?
I am up to the last arena.
Right.
It is, God damn it! It is so hard, this last one.
So the way you're battling waves and waves of enemies, and if you get taken out on the final wave, you have to redo the entire arena.
Yes, I have made it to. I've done maybe 6 or 7 attempts on this. On this final level, which doesn't sound like a lot, but each of these attempts is about 20 to 25 minutes of playing. And to get up to the 7th wave and get taken out is just like, oh no! because this final arena is giant. Like, it's the biggest arena in the game. The sort of ground, it's like ground is lava rules. If you touch the floor of this arena, you get health taken off you.
Right.
Your only other options are like pillars that are scattered throughout the arena. There's a bunch of pillars, but landing on a pillar can be super difficult because once, like, how many of the kind of upgrades to the boomerang have you unlocked? Have you unlocked the like freeze time one?
Yes.
And you've unlocked the slingshot one?
Yes.
Because I'd say 90% of my attempts at this final level, I'm in the air. Like, throw the boomerang, slingshot to it, freeze time while I work out what my next move's going to be, make that move. Sometimes I'm, like, desperately fighting to, like, get some altitude so I can look around. And that's the thing. The last arena is so huge, it's difficult to find where the marked enemies are.
Right, okay, sure.
So often I'm just like doing a kind of circuit around the arena, like trying to work out like, okay, who, like, the good thing is once you're down to 3 marked enemies, they actually appear glowing on the screen. So you can like, okay, it's over there. I just got to make my way over there. They throw almost every enemy type you come across up until that point. And there are some enemy types that I'm just like, I hate this enemy so much. There's like this big giraffe thing that can cause a thundercloud, like a circular thundercloud, to come out of its head. And you've got to hit it in 5 spots to take it out.
Okay, yep.
Like, you know, and three of the 7 waves of the final level have this enemy in it. And I'm just like, ah! It's the sort of hand cramping that I haven't experienced since Ape Out.
Okay, sure. Another Devolver game. You know that,
yeah, you know that really tense, almost like your hands cramp up as you're trying to like dodge and dive in Ape Out? It's like that. Look, I definitely enjoy it for what it is. I think I'm not a huge arena shooter guy. I like much more sort of linearity in terms of my combat when it comes to first-person games. You know, this is from a history with like Half-Life and stuff like that, where you battle through rather than battle in an area. But that being said, I think the sort of like the traversal that you get, the combination of slingshot and the freeze time thing, once I'd unlocked those two and kind of figured out how to properly use them, suddenly I was like nailing arenas on the first try because I was just dashing all over the place. No enemy could keep a lock on me because I'd like, you know, pop up in the air, shoot behind them, hit their weak spot, you know, call the boomerang back to me, freeze time again, off on another direction.
Yeah, like I definitely haven't mastered either the slingshot or the slowdown, the freeze time.
Yeah,
one. Just because like one, just memorizing which of the triggers does what, like the like ZL or whatever, the top one, L recalls your boomerang, and then ZL
yep.
slows time, and then either or of the right triggers throws your boomerang. If you hold it, it winds up so you can do a bigger throw. But if you tap it again, then you slingshot towards where your boomerang is.
I've definitely had some instances where I've double tapped the throw boomerang button without intending to.
Yep.
And so suddenly I'm like somewhere else on the map.
That's
and
me
I'm
now.
Like,
Bleh! Yeah, and then you land on an enemy and then you die. Great. Good fun.
Struggling to like get back to where I was essentially. But that's that, like once you kind of get that, once you become like comfortable with that traversal, then it's like, oh, okay, sweet. This is actually like, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, I feel powerful. I feel powerful because I'm, you know, zooming around this map, wiping out enemies, nothing standing in my way, particularly when like, cause on top of skills with the boomerang, you also unlock extra attacks you can make.
Mm-hmm.
So if you kill two enemies with one shot,
yes.
you unlock like a shotgun style attack.
Scatter shot or something, isn't what it called? Yeah.
Scatter shot. If you kill a number of enemies in one go, I think it is, you unlock like a railgun or a sniper style shot. Mm-hmm. There's another one, if you make three kills while in the air, whenever you hit an enemy or land on the ground, you'll create an explosion around you essentially.
Oh, that's fine. I want that.
So once you start kind of like chaining all of those things together as well, like it's great to have like this massive enemies coming towards you, but you've got a scatter shot in your pocket, you tap the Y button and boom, the screen's clear again and you're free to just start running and concentrating on enemies that need concentrating on.
I think it would be more fun if you were taking out enemies that had boomerangs like you do, like if you were essentially fighting yourself, like other like people with the same, I don't know, like obviously not,
you just want this to be boomerang foo.
Like I have been playing it all day, but no, but I guess I kind of want it to feel like I'm instead of just fighting like weird mindless creatures, it would be fun to be fight, because you do see there is like, you know, you find people that I guess like other creatures that have that resemble you, humanoid form almost, like dead in arenas. It would be fun if you got to fight some of them as well.
Yeah, okay.
John's like, no, it says boomerang, not boomerang, Zex.
Yeah. No, look, I guess that could work. It's definitely like, you could fold that into the story as like people who have been there before you and maybe have been driven mad by whatever evil is infecting this land kind of thing.
Yeah.
I just think it's like, look, I'm biased in saying this because I'm on this final level and it's absolutely killing me, but I think it's tough enough already.
Oh, I mean like less about like, I mean one-on-one as opposed to like waves and waves and waves of multiple enemies. I don't know.
It could be.
I'm making a game that I would rather play rather than a better game.
Oh, of course. Yeah, look, I mean, I went into this thinking like I'm not sure, because again it comes back to first person games and, you know, a childhood spent playing Doom and Quake and those kind of games has definitely tuned my sensibilities to sort of get a game like this.
Yeah.
Whereas I don't know if you had that, but
why doesn't my character have a mustache? I can't jump on everybody. This sucks.
I think I think I would have liked to have seen a bit more
mustaches, agree.
Platforming.
Oh no,
sure.
I'm never a fan of first person platforming.
But I think when you add in the slingshot and the freeze time, the platforming options are much like it's a much better version of 3D platforming.
Okay.
From a first person perspective.
Yeah.
Cause it gives you that chance to stop, look at where you're trying to get to, work out the best kind of route there and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. No, look, it's really, really cool. This is less about a game that is not good and more about a game that is not necessarily for me, although I have enjoyed my, you know, 90 minutes or however so with it. I think the being tempted to go in there and unlock more abilities is definitely what's going to get me back. I think Dang are a pretty fun developer. Have you kind of paid attention to any of their other releases?
No, I haven't.
Because like Disc Room, Boomerang X exists in another form. This is a game that was made as part of a 48-hour game jam.
Nice, okay.
And so you can, if you want to play a very primitive version of this game, you can play it for free or name your own price over at dangstudios.itch.io. It's only available for Windows, and they have five games on their itch store. And they have another game coming out later this year, which is a hacking heist game called IO Interloper, which has a trailer. If you want to watch it.
I like the sound of that.
Yeah, but yeah, cool seeming studio for sure.
Sweet, good on you, Dang, and of course Devolver, long acknowledged as the goats around here.
Yeah, I mean, I forget that they have quite a legacy of first person games, so this definitely fits in that same realm as Serious Sam and.
Yeah, it almost like it reminds me a little of Serious Sam, because Serious Sam is definitely that, like, we will put you in an area and we will pour enemies at you and you just have to kill as quickly as possible. There's a little more nuance in Boomerang X. Obviously, you know, like I said, you don't have to kill all the enemies, and it can feel very satisfying when you've got, like, rather than sitting there slugging away with things running at you, you take out that last marked enemy and all the enemies on the screen dissolve immediately for the next round. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you're right, they do. I mean, Shadow Warrior, Serious Sam, as you said, this game. They've got Devolver have first-person chops, if you will.
But look, as we record this, I'm currently downloading a code that I was just sent for Death's Door. And that is definitely the Devolver game that I would rather be playing. So,
hell yeah!
I'm probably not gonna get back to Boomerang X anytime immediately soon.
That's fair. I might take one or two more tries at this final level, and then I think to avoid me 2 years from now getting horrible arthritis, I might play something a bit more chill for a while.
Hey, so there's a on the dang.computer. website, which is Dang's website, you can there's lots of options there. You can see all their games, you can follow them on Twitter, join their Discord, send them an email. But then there is also the option to flush the toilet. So let's wrap up this segment on Boomerang X, which I think objectively is a good game, but definitely a game more suited to someone who enjoys first person shooters, especially in arena ones. John, any closing thoughts before we flush this toilet?
No, I think if you like frenetic action and first-person games, give it a whip.
All right, let's flush this motherfucker. Thank you, Dang.
Is that our gimmick now?
No, only if the developer of the game that we're reviewing has an option to flush the toilet on their website, we will flush the toilet. Obviously, it's the least we could do. And frankly, any podcast that reviews Boomerang X and doesn't do that are cowards.
True.
Yeah.
Agreed. Worth mentioning before we go, it's out for Switch and PC.
Yep. There you go. Death's Door, Xbox, and PC, and we'll be talking about that.
Wait, no. Boomerang X.
I know. And then I was adding.
Wait, what?
I was saying, and then...
Oh, yes. Yeah. Xbox and... Yeah, yep, right.
Video. Don't worry, everybody.
Did you get an Xbox code? Obviously, you got an Xbox code.
Yeah, yeah. It'd be weird if I'm the only person in the world that can play it on Switch.
Sure.
So, on to another game now. We're going to do a few greatest hits of all the small games. I want to talk about quickly Save Me, Mr. Taco, or rather Save Me, Mr. Taco Definitive Edition. Do you remember me talking about this game, John?
Yes, vaguely. I mean, the name is familiar to me. I couldn't tell you what the game is. Wait, there's an octopus.
That's right. So this game was developed by Christoph Galati in October 2018, and it was released by a publisher called Nicholas. And since then, there have been many, many stories coming out about the guy who owns Nicholas being a huge piece of shit. And from harassment allegations through to just being a really hard publisher to work with. And in Save Me Mr. Taco's case, Christoph, he got a lot of feedback about, you know, some glitches in the game, and he basically made a patch for the game and tried to put it up, and for whatever reason Nicholas refused to patch his game. So after a few years of fighting Nicholas, he hasn't gone into too much depth as to how this happened, but the game was delisted from the eShop, and he now is publishing it with Limited Run Games. They're acting as publisher this time around, and Save Me Mr. Taco has now hit the eShop once again, and it is now called the Definitive Edition, and I've played it. It's got a few, like, you know, extra things added to it. It's been patched. It has a new icon on the eShop screen, and it's just as delightful as it was when it came out. It's kind of like a harken back to a Game Boy adventure game in which you play an octopus, Mr. Taco, who are fierce warriors of the sea, except Taco is a pacifist, and he rescues a human woman from drowning in the prologue to this game, in which all of your octopus brothers and sisters kill viciously a ship full of humans. And it's about it's like a kind of like puzzle platformer where you have to explore these different kind of underwater dungeons. You don't so much kill your enemies as you do spit ink on them, and then they freeze in place, and then you can use their frozen ink splattered bodies as platforms to reach higher parts of the ocean. You have a very unique move set. You kind of have this weird jump and then float down to where you were. You kind of shoot your ink out in like rapid fire. And it's up to you to kind of end the war between the octopi. It is octopi, right?
Octopuses. I think octopuses is, yeah.
Octopuses and the humi, or the it's humi, right? Humans.
It's humi. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And, I think when I first got this, I played a while of it. It has like very, very faithful kind of like Game Boy, looking graphics, but it has that great thing that Gatto Roboto, another Devolver game, had, where you can touch one of the shoulder buttons and it will cycle through different color schemes. And you can I think this is exclusive to this version, you can make the game kind of like the same resolution as a Game Boy, and then put a background around it. There's also a hint system in this new version, and a few other quality of life improvements. You can listen to the entire soundtrack. There's a new difficulty mode. That's the biggest change, because it is a pretty difficult game. There are lives you have to find within the game, and you know, if you lose your lives, it's game over. A lot of people did not love how difficult that is. It's a harking back to the way things were. So he made an easier mode where there isn't a life system. It's a much more attractive package now. I think there's like more than 50 levels that you can go through. You collect different hats. Some of the hats are purely cosmetic. Other hats give you upgrades to your weapons or your mobility within the levels. It's really fun. The music is gorgeous. One of my favorite things about this game is the soundtrack. So being able to just kind of like listen to the music as you play is really fun. I would totally recommend this game, especially given that, like, yeah, I know that a lot of people have bad experiences with Nicholas as a publisher, and it fucking breaks my heart to have like an indie developer who spent, you know, half a decade of his life working on a game, have it released to problems, you know, where it can't be the best game that it can be because of the publisher. And it's really sick that he was able to work with Limited Run Games to get this game out again. I would definitely recommend it to anyone who loves platformers. It's really unique. It's really sweet. And it has an octopus in it. What more do you fucking want?
Absolutely.
I think it's only on Switch at this point.
Yeah, that feels about right. I'm surprised it's not on Steam as well, but... Sure.
I'll have a look and see if it's on Steam. Oh, yep, it's on Steam. There you go.
Yep. Yeah. I think it's easier to get on Steam than it is to get on Switch, maybe.
Probably cheaper too.
Although you'd never think it, because that Switch store, woo, a lot of garbage in there.
So much. I admire it. I admire how much garbage is on the Switch store. But that's Save Me, Mr. Taco, Definitive Edition. Give this game a chance if you didn't the first time round, or if you didn't want to because of Nicholas. And they now have nothing to do with this game, so definitely check it out.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Nice. So I was going to leap into What the Golf now, but you said you were going to talk about Duck Game.
Yeah, so look, we mentioned it earlier. Boomerang Foo is a local multiplayer game that I absolutely loved playing. Well, my son loved far more than me, and I now actually love playing it with him. It's like a top down isometric game where you play different pieces of fruit trying to kill each other with boomerangs. Super duper fun. It has lots of great modes where you can, you know, put yourselves on a team against bots, or in the case of what our game today, I was able to basically, I fought Archie and a bot, and you can give the bot different levels of intelligence. So I was not able to beat him when he teamed up with a hard bot, but I could beat him when he teamed up with a medium bot. There's lots of ways that you know, I'm playing games as a dad, you'll learn this a couple of years from now, John.
Fingers crossed.
You can't, if they know that you're just being shit at the game so they can win, they pick up on that and they don't like it. But also, they don't like just getting their ass handed to them by you every single round.
Sure.
So I really appreciate games that allow you to, you know, either play with somebody instead of against them, or or fall around in different ways to make it more even for them. So with that in mind, I was trying to think of other games, other local multiplayer games that we could play against each other, or, you know, team up and fight bots or whatever. And I remembered one of my favorite games to play with one of my favorite party games, and it is called Duck Game. It was published by Adult Swim. Originally came out on Steam. God, I'm gonna look this up. I wonder how long ago it was. I'm going to wager like 7 years ago.
Yeah, I'm going to say like 2013, maybe.
I bought this game three times now. It came out... Oh, my God. Do you know what it released on first? You will never guess.
What?
Guess which console Duck Game first released on in 2014.
Mac? Linux.
No, keep going. This is...
Damn it.
I look like we're finally going to stop hating on Linux. I remembered a console that we can start hating on again that no one in the entire universe will be upset by. And that is the Ouya.
Oh, my God. Oh.
The Ouya was a kickstarted console.
Yes.
That basically was like, you know, an app store for your home console. you just plugged, it was like a little box that you plugged into the television and it had an app store.
Yeah.
It was a huge failure. But Duck Game.
Massive failure.
Duck Game launched on it. And then it came out.
That's insane.
On Steam in 2015. And then on PlayStation 4 in 2017, I bought that version. I originally bought it on Steam without realizing that you couldn't play it on Mac. So I never played it for 2 years until it came out on PS4. Bought it then. Especially played the shit out of it on your Bucks weekend before your wedding.
Yep.
And
Quacks weekend.
Yep, Quacks weekend. And just recently bought it on my Switch too, because I only have two PS5 controllers. And this is a game best played with as many people as possible. I believe four is the amount you can play with on Switch. But yeah. Duck Game is a 2D 16-bit local multiplayer game. You can play online as well, where you are a duck and there are just weapons scattered all across each level. You have to grab a weapon and, you know, like triangle, like say you're playing on PlayStation, triangle, you picks up the weapon or throws it again, and then square is load it or shoot it. And then you can jump. There's like jetpacks and other kinds of power-ups you can get within the game. But it's just like this great, like a new screen loads, you see all the levels, like, you know, the platforms around you, and it's a mad scramble to get a weapon before your enemy and shoot them before they shoot you. And some of the weapons are completely useless. Others are so destructive that it's almost impossible not to kill yourself as you kill someone else. And it is just like that perfect mix of just like, you know, fun and chaos, where, you know, you just want to be, you want to be reasonable at this game and you'll have a good time. You don't need to be a good, because it's like playing Super Smash Brothers with all the trophies and like, you know, nonsense that falls down from the sky turned on. You know, anyone could win a game of Duck Game.
Sure.
Yeah. And so I've been playing it with Archie. He is much worse at it than he is at Boomerang Fu.
Foo.
It's a pretty, I don't know, I guess it's like getting your head around picking up a weapon, loading it, then shooting it. So definitely had to just be bad at this game and allow him a few kills, or maybe accidentally take myself out with a very powerful weapon so he gets a few points up. But man, this game is so good. It's just, it is one of the great party games. Weirdly, on PS5, definitely, I got a lot of audio issues, like a lot of just like sound would cut out, like, you know, jumps or like weapons wouldn't make any sound. I forgot, like, this game doesn't have a soundtrack. It is just like, you know, very primitive noises and visuals, but it does the trick. It gets the job done. It is one of the least like reduced for sale games on the eShop. It's like almost never been reduced. When it does, it'd be like 10-15%, which is very funny, because I feel like if this was like one of those games that got that, you know, periodically 50% off once a year or whatever, I feel like it would get a massive amount of attention by Switch players. But
yeah,
I don't know, add it to your wish list. Maybe one day they will reduce it, but and you'll get that notification that it's 40-50% off. It's a must own, a must play at some point in your life if you live in a share house and like playing local multiplayer games. It's, you know, somewhere between like Super Smash Brothers and like Super Crate Box, if you ever played that. This, you know, mixture of like local multiplayer fighting and then survival. It's great.
You know what I'd love to find out, or to, I'd love to hear about you introducing Archie to, is Nidhogg 2.
Mm. He's watched me play that before and laughed his ass off. Right. I reckon he'd enjoy playing it himself now. Because he is like, you can kind of fuck your way through that game, like just lifting the sword and not really doing...
Oh, of course.
It's
like the number of times, you know, when we've played it, one of us has advanced because the other one has just run into the person's sword.
Yes, totally.
Yeah.
Hey, this
damn that
same studio that made Nidhogg 2. There's the same guys that made Gang Beasts, right?
Maybe not. I think so, maybe.
Bone Loaf? Maybe not.
Hold on.
No. But Gang Beasts is I've never played it, but it's on they're not made by Bone Loaf. Okay, sorry. Bone Loaf make a game called Gang Beasts, which is a lot of people told me was very similar to Nidhogg. Gang Beasts is on Game Pass now, so we downloaded that today. So,
oh, nice.
We'll be playing that too. Another fun, anarchic local multiplayer game. Another local multiplayer game that we started today, because Archie's in that mood where he just wants to try as many games as possible and then move on to stuff.
Amazing.
We started Death Squared together.
Oh, really?
A game which, for those who haven't listened to many episodes of this, John was the writer for. He wrote all of the narration, I guess, the various characters.
The dialogue.
We finished like the first kind of, you know, area or whatever. Super fun. So good.
Sweet.
Yeah. Like, you know, it's very much like, oh, no, you died. Do this next time. But I feel like it's a lot, certainly in the early stages at least, it's not like playing Undercooked where if the other person just sucks, it's actually unfun for the player who's good.
Yeah.
Whereas this one is like, it's very easy to communicate what the other player did wrong.
Definitely. Yeah. And I mean, like, having to die is built into the game. That's how you learn your way through a level.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think it's like, it's never like, oh, god damn it, we're screwed now. It's like, cool, we learned something for the next time.
Yeah, totally. So I think we might play through that one too. Great game.
Nice.
Great game. Very, very frequently reduced on the eShop. So add that one to your wish list too. And if you want to one day play an excellent local multiplayer game, that's less about fighting the other player and more about enjoying a story with somebody. Very, very fun.
As well as getting through some puzzles that become increasingly fiendish.
Yes. And with some absolutely unbelievable dialogue all the way throughout.
Thank you, Levin.
Unbiased.
I'm blushing over Zoom.
One
thing I was curious about, outside of with a bot, has Archie naturally gotten a win on Boomerang Foo? Like,
totally.
His skills have increased at it?
Yeah, I mean, he's still, he just gets so excited that he's playing it that I feel like all...
Right.
Yeah. Sometimes he's good at it. I don't know. It's hard to describe, man. Like, you know, some kids, he's just excited about the concept of video games sometimes. It's pretty sweet.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, like, he loves puzzle games because that's the kind of stuff he is good at, whereas, like, you know, more, you know, quick impulse based platforming and shooters, he's, you know, it takes a lot more skills to get through games like that. But yeah,
and it's quicker to be bad at those, I think.
Yeah, totally.
Like, you definitely feel worse about yourself because you're dying and not doing well so rapidly.
But like, I will have, like, in Duck Game, he'll be like, I'll die. And he'll be like, was that on purpose? And I'll be like, no. And he's like, yes, it was. And then the next round, I'll just kill him. And he'll be like, Dad! So, like, you can't win sometimes. But
that's what you were describing before. I'm like, that is the narrowest path to walk. It is so easy to fall off on either side of that.
Yeah, totally. So I think, yeah, that's the one that I wish Duck Game had the bots option. I'm not sure if we could both play online. But again, you are still, you're not teaming up. So, you know, we would still have to kill each other.
I think that's probably one of the difficulties with Duck Game is the every person for themselves aspect of it.
Some other local multiplayer games that I was going to test out with him, Towerfall, the game by Matt Makes Games before they made Celeste. I want to get back to Tricky Towers. That's a very fun game too. You played that game before?
Cool.
Where there's like a stack of Tetris blocks. You each have an island, and you have to guide the Tetris blocks and build the highest tower. And you can fuck the other players' towers up. Pretty fun.
Yeah, I think that'll. We have yet to do. I guess this is technically because during the early episodes we talked about like, oh, we should do a multiplayer episode, and like you and I should hang out for the day and play a ton of multiplayer games, but. You know, we're both adults and who has time to see each other these days? But I guess this is perfect in its stead because it's a combination of reviewing multiplayer games and introducing a new person to gaming as well.
No, absolutely.
Which is the noblest cause there is.
Before we move on to What the Golf, which incidentally is another game that Archie loves. He actually finished that entirely by himself on his iPad, which is pretty cool.
Nice.
I just want to give a quick shout out to one of our patrons, in our Discord. I got sent a big box full of board games recently by one of our members, Lurking Fear. We actually sang a song to him. Let me just try and find. There he is. The message. I remember what his name is. Anyway, we sang a song to him. It was one of the guys we sang a song to recently. God damn it, where is it? Anyway, he sent a box of board games because he heard that me and Archie were playing and loved board games. And it has been such a big help this week because, schools are closed at the moment in Australia. In New South Wales, where we live. And I have to homeschool Archie. And last year was so stressful because every day I would have to do Zooms and try and get him to pay attention in the Zoom meetings. And he is a pretty bright kid who always knows the answer. So in a classroom situation, he'll have put his hand up and be like, me. And the teacher will be like, oh, let's let someone else from the class answer the next few. How about that, Archie? And then he'll understand why he isn't getting picked for a while. But in a Zoom class, he's rapidly tapping the, put your hand up button in the Zoom call and just getting ignored. And then he gets so discouraged. Then he's just like, well, I'm going to fuck around in the chat then. And then he got booted out of Zooms. which is pretty hilarious because what an angel that kid is. That was I thought it was funny. He was mortified and he just views that as like one of the worst experiences of his life. So he made the decision to not do any Zoom conferences as part of his home learning. We can maybe watch the replay the next day, but he won't be partaking in it in the videos.
Oh wow, okay.
And we're gonna have fun with homeschooling. Because learning games, especially board games, I feel like, you're learning comprehension skills, memory skills, sometimes mathematics skills. So having a new ones to learn each day has been great. And I want to give a special shout out to a balancing game called Animal Upon Animal, in which you have a bunch of wooden animals and you have to stack them on top of each other until the pile falls, a la Jenga, except it's way more fun than Jenga. This one was published by Haba, H-A-B-A. I really like that a lot. And yesterday we played a game called Cthulhu in the House. And man, that game was heaps of fun. You have this big house full of different rooms and you put 12 monsters in each, one in each room. And you have to basically you take turns deciding, putting a monster in a room with another monster and then deciding which monster dies, except you secretly have two monsters that are yours and without revealing to everyone else, you have to keep your monster in the house till the end. Really, really fun, really easy to understand. And it's made by a company called, God damn it. What's it called? Come on, CMON, and you can. He's got another one called Rumble in the Dungeon, and a couple other games, and you can combine all the games.
Oh wow! Okay, yeah, that's cool.
Very cool, because I actually have Rumble in the Dungeon unopened, ready to give Archie for Christmas this year. So that'll be sick. Nice. And also, when you are in lockdown, Christmas happens in August sometimes, because fucking why not?
Christmas happens every 2 weeks because you need something to do.
So yeah, thank you so much to Lurking Fear for putting a little less fear in my son's life. Am I right, John? He also included in the package a Zelda bib for your baby Olive. So when we finally get this, maybe I'll ship it to you. Philip is his name. Shouts to Philip. We sang a song to Philip a while ago.
Big shout outs to Philip. Thank you very much. Hopefully, maybe shipping it to me is the best idea, because who knows how long this lockdown's going to go for, and Olive might be in university by the time we get to see one another again legally.
Hey, I'm literally changing my career this weekend because
of course
DJing ain't coming Olive's, back anytime soon.
Olive's 13 years old and I'm like, wear the bib, god damn it.
Levins is dead, but he's passed on this bib to you.
So to wrap this up, I have a tendency to leave. You know, when you go to the App Store and it has the little in the top right corner, there's your little profile button, and it'll have the little red number of how many apps you need to update.
Yeah,
I don't know if you can set auto update.
You can.
You can. Yeah. I don't. So more often than not, I'll wind up with somewhere between 30 to 50 apps to update each time.
Yep.
And I think I hopped in there to check. Yeah, I wanted to see if Legends of Kingdom Rush, if there had been any hey, we've been out for 2 weeks now. Here's another level for you to play. Because, you know, I liked it. I'm eager to get some more content for that game. So as I was scrolling through, I saw that What the Golf had an update. Well, I saw, like, almost every app on my phone had an update. But What the Golf jumped out at me. And I was like, oh, what have those guys been up to? Gave it a look. And they were like, hey, this is the biggest update we've done so far. There is a complete new campaign for you to play through. Called A Whole New World. I think it's A Whole New World. Obviously, whole is not the one spelt with the W, spelt with the H. And just looking it up then, they, you know, a fun little PR hook. They're like, the new campaign has 1,000 holes in it. The whole thing, the thing being... They're not actually, it's not each of, you don't play through 1,000 holes. It's just the levels now feature, like, as you'll be playing through, a hole will appear in the ground. And it could be a giant hole that, like, you know, your ball falls into without warning. Or a hole will open up and, like, a, you know, in typical What the Golf fashion, a ton of hot dogs will spew out of it. And that might cause an issue with your gameplay or something like that. And yeah, so they've made a lot. There's like 50 new levels in this campaign. So it feels fairly meaty compared to some of the previous updates they've done. I think they did like a sports theme update and a Christmas themed update.
Yep, played both of those. Loved them.
Yeah, naturally, there is one level that is Donut County.
Oh, great, awesome! So you play a hole
because you play as a hole and you go around and you swallow stuff up and then, like, the flag is on top of a house and so you need to get, like, big enough to swallow the house in the end. There's a couple of levels where inexplicably you play a dog that can walk up walls. Although, honestly, when it comes to What the Golf, I don't think they need to explain anything. It's just, like, what's the funnest, silliest idea we can have with this?
Yep.
I was very excited because... What the Golf is obviously a game that you can play one-handed. And so, you know, there are, you know, during feeding time for Olive, when I step in to give her bottle top-up, you know, yep. Maybe my wife is, you know, because we're reading to her at the same time. So maybe my wife is reading and I have one hand free, essentially the one that's trapped under Olive. And it just was fun to be like, hey, great, there's this game that I know I really like and I can play it while I wait for Olive to finish her bottle. What the Golf is obviously great to be played in short bursts. So yeah, I managed to eke out like what's probably about an hour to an hour and a half of new gameplay over like a couple of days. There's none of the holes are particularly overly taxing. But that just means you can have like a bit of fun enjoying the silliness that is going on. And it's great because under the adventures section of the game, there's like another panel that is like coming soon. So clearly this is something that they're going to keep supporting in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's great. I think it's going to be fun, hopefully every couple of months, to like check my update section in the App Store and be like, oh, sick, there's new What the Golf to play.
Yeah.
You should definitely give Archie a heads up about it.
Damn, I will, absolutely. Fuck school.
Yeah. Today, we're learning about golf, Archie.
My favorite Waka Flocka Flame quote. Just fuck school.
Fuck school. Nice. So yeah, those have been my adventures in gaming over the last week. But, oh boy, am I excited for next week, Levins.
Yeah, I'm so excited to finally get into Death's Door. That's really, really cool. A cool thing to think about. Then we start hitting, like, all of these big indie games coming out over the next couple of weeks and months, huh?
What do we got?
I don't, Sable's coming out real soon.
September. Yep.
Does Tunic come out real soon, too?
I don't think they've announced a release date for Tunic yet, have they?
Okay, all those Game Pass games.
Hold on, I've got an announced game list here.
Yeah,
12 Minutes comes out August 9th.
Okay, great.
Psychonauts 2, August 25th. Skatebird is August 12th. Death's Door, obviously, July 20th. Also, one thing we have to look forward to, and I think something that we'll do a bit of a breakdown on a future episode, maybe an episode about... 3 weeks from now is the Annapurna Showcase.
Very exciting.
Coming July 29th. So yeah, there's definitely a bunch of stuff on the way that'll be will be really fun. And you know, who knows, man? They might just shadow drop Tunic.
Did you see any of the announcements from the State of Play, the PlayStation State of Play this week?
No, I didn't really. Was there anything super worth paying attention to?
Jet the Far Shore, which is the new game by the guys who made Sword and Sorcery, Super Brothers.
Oh, hell yeah, cool.
That got a big announcement. Actually, yeah. Pretty gorgeous.
I did hear about it. It's like a more peaceful No Man's Sky or something.
Yeah, it was announced last year. It kind of has Pathless vibes, so I'll be going in on that.
Oh, hell yeah.
It was announced last year, and then they had a proper gameplay trailer for it. It's about almost 3 minutes of gameplay, which is pretty sick. Go check that out.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Did they also mention Little Devil Inside?
I can't remember. I didn't watch the full thing. So there's not really actually anything for me to remember. I don't know is what I meant.
Right.
Very easy to get these two things confused.
I love that. Did you watch the State of Play? No, I didn't. How about you? Nope, neither. Okay.
Next segment. I breezed through a wrap-up email. You know.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Hey, we've got an email address that people can send emails to. If you send us an email, we'll give you entry to all the Small Games Discord. So if you want to join a community of people talking about indie games all day long, plus get announcements whenever we get a new episode, either in our main feed or Patreon, head over to your email client of choice and send an email to allthesmallgames@gmail.com. If we choose your email to read out on the show, we'll reply back with an invite to our Discord. Pretty good deal.
Nice.
Gus sends us an email and asks, and the subject is games with babies. So I was thinking, okay, this is either games, how do you play games with babies? Or is he asking which games have babies in them? Let's find out. Hi, Small Games boys. My wife is nearing the end of her first trimester with our first child, so I have 7 months to prepare for video games with a child. When do you think is the right age to start? Also, do you have any favorite Switch games to play while holding a baby? Thanks for everything. You guys got me into indies. Katana Zero is maybe the first indie game I ever played, but I am loving Into the Breach and Celeste right now. Those are bangers, Gus.
Great choices.
So I first started playing Yoshi's Woolly World with my son when he was just past one. And he loved the character Yoshi, called him Shishi. And we just got him, John, you gave him Yoshi shoes, which I then passed on to my daughter. But it hasn't really been until, since he's maybe, four and up that he actually wanted to play games with me. Animal Crossing, my daughter plays, and she's been playing that since she was, three. Just kind of, running around and kind of walking into trees and shit. I would say three, but, also immerse them in video game culture. As in terms of introducing them to characters and music as well is a really good thing to do. Play video game soundtracks around them, that kind of stuff. That's really fun to do.
I think it boils down to what do you define as getting your kid involved in video games? Is it setting them loose on a single player game and watching them play it themselves? Is it something that you guys can play together?
For me, I love playing games with my kids so much. It's the best.
Yeah, but like you said, I think Archie's now reaching an age where he can understand game mechanics and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's it's that divide between playing a game as a form of passive entertainment for the child to watch and then playing a game as a form of active entertainment for the child to be involved in. Mm-hmm. So I think like you said, Archie loved watching you play Yoshi's Woolly World when he was one because he loves the character. It would have been like watching a cartoon
totally
for him kind of thing. So I think, it boils down, Gus, to what your expectations are for gaming with your child. But I think around, 4 or 5, they'll probably start figuring out if I press a button, a thing happens. And then That's almost the beginning of the journey, is understanding hey, when I affect an action is replicated on screen. Which is the basis of all games, pretty much.
Apps on iPad and phone are totally different, though. Like that, kids understand those at a much earlier age. So, you know, I would say like curate an iPad with apps that you want your kid to play, instead of just doing what most parents do and just downloading a bunch of free shit. Apple Arcade, like, I don't use it very often.
Very good for that.
But I will be like, Archie, just go to Apple Arcade and download whatever you want and come and show me it as you're playing it. And then we have, like, you know, this active... It's almost like he reviews a game for me. And then I steal his thoughts and share them on the podcast. Pass them off as my own. The more important question in this email...
Your kid is going to suck it into the breach at the beginning.
Yeah. Sure. They'll get there, though.
Yeah.
The more important question, games that you can play while holding a baby... specifically, he asked for Switch games. It's pretty difficult having both hands. I mean, I know you played a lot of Rogue Legacy.
Yep, Rogue Legacy. SnowRunner. Ooh, baby, SnowRunner's a good one. I mean, it really like it. Obviously, I am currently in that point in time where I have an infant and I'm playing Switch games. I think I've mentioned on the podcast before. I feel like Switch is kind of the perfect width to comfortably hold a baby and play in handheld mode. The beauty is as well, if you pop it into your TV, no matter how you arrange your arms and hands, you can have the two Joy-Cons in each hand. And play in whatever position you need to play in. I certainly played some stuff like that. I would lean more towards games that... Turn-based games are probably a good thing. So Into the Breach is a good example of that. Nothing that has really frantic action.
Yeah, Celeste is a terrible choice.
Celeste is a terrible choice. I mean, you know, what we reviewed earlier, Boomerang X. I could not, like, there's no way I could hold Olive and play Boomerang X at the same time. Just
not
because...
Not with that attitude.
It's anything that requires really kind of... twitchy reflexes, I think, isn't going to go great with a kid in your arms. But anything that's maybe a little bit more measured, a little bit calmer. So, like, you know, like I said, anything turn-based. Into the Breach, perfect for playing with a kid. Absolutely go nuts on Into the Breach. And I'm just going to hit my... Chicory, well, Chicory's on PS, so that doesn't think. I'm just looking through the Tumblr to see, like, you could play Umurangi Generation, for instance. you could play, what else have we
calm,
had?
Calm games. Yeah.
Yeah, anything calm. Tiger Trio's Tasty Travels. You could wail on that.
That'd be great. I would recommend phone games in general, though.
Yes.
Particularly ones that you can hold portrait mode and play. With one hand.
Like
What the Golf.
Definitely.
Super Mario Run. That was a really, really good time when that came out. Games like that. Yeah. Because I associate holding a baby with feeding the baby. And like you can hold them in one arm and have the bottle in their mouth and then have your left hand free to play video games. I'm demonstrating with my hands for John's benefit only right now. But hey,
it looks like he is
maybe
playing
he learned
guitar
something.
Or waltzing.
so we have another email. Again, you can email us allthesmallgames@gmail.com. Keyshawn says, "Hey boys, love the show and have been listening for ages. One of my favorite games of all time came recommended from the podcast in Slay the Spire. I was a bit hesitant to drop almost $40 on it, but 250 hours later, Jesus Christ, and I can say it was worth
Holy
every
shit,
penny."
Dude.
That game has made me realize that I like roguelikes, especially when there are deck-building elements involved. Monster Train also scratched the itch in the same way, as recommended by you two lovely guys. Every time you mention Loop Hero, I cry inside, as it seems to tick the same boxes, but I don't play on PC, and there seems to be no console release in sight. What else can you recommend in the same vein? I've got all consoles, but find these games best on Switch. Keep up the great work. Keyshawn."
Card-based roguelikes on Switch.
The new one that Clay just put out.
Oh, Grifflands, of course.
Grifflands.
Yeah. Grifflands. I don't think that's as roguelike-ish.
Oh, okay.
Maybe it is, but let me look it up. Certainly when I played it, it felt more narrative than... Well, it says it's a roguelike, so It may be. You may just restart the narrative again, but it's definitely a bit more narrative heavy than other roguelikes I've played. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a bummer he doesn't have a PC, because I definitely recommend Fights in Tight Spaces.
Okay, yep.
That game is great. Any ideas on your end?
I'm just thinking of, like, not specifically card-based ones, but, like, maybe different feeling roguelites. Like, I mean, like, I would say, like, there's roguelike elements in Into the Breach.
Yep, that's fair.
I would recommend
definitely.
That. That's, like, a very strategic kind of roguelite. Is it that game Dream Quest? I've never played it, but I know that's a card-building roguelite one. I never know if it's light or like. But it's one of them.
I've just done a quick old Google. Is there a game called Dicey Dungeons?
Oh, dude, and that is by Terry Kavanagh,
the guy that
we're going to do a special on, maybe even this week, Sean, if you can make it work.
We'll goddamn try. Have you? We'll talk.
I
about
clocked it
then.
Again, man. I love that game.
You clocked it again. Yep. I'm in the process of clocking.
You don't need to clock it again. You've clocked it once on a phone. You should never have to even play it again, to be honest.
I am doing it again on a phone.
You're a madman.
You're damn right I am, Levins.
You know, Dicey Dungeons is an amazing choice. Apparently, there's like hours upon hours of content in that game. Roguelike deck-building game with like dice and cards. That's absolutely what you should get, man. Dicey Dungeons. It's a game that I always think about playing, and I kick myself for not playing it already.
Let me see if there's any other recs. RPG. I mean, this is a Ring of Ring of Pain, maybe.
All right.
I think Ring of Pain. That's one you should check out. If I believe it is on Switch, I hope it is on Switch at least. I mean, the other issue can be like, what region are you located in? Because sometimes things are not, you know, don't carry across all the regions. There you go. Look, Dicey Dungeons, and if you've got it in your eShop, Ring of Pain.
Okay.
Both of those, give them a try. If you're a Slay the Spire man, then I think those will set you right.
And maybe give Grifflands a shot too.
Oh yeah, Grifflands as well. Those three: Grifflands, Dicey Dungeons, Ring of Pain.
Unreal! What a beautiful pair of emails. I'll be sending you guys invites to our Discord immediately. If you would like to join them, email us allthesmallgames@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you and love to recommend you more indie games than the ones we already have in this episode, which I thought was going to be a short one, but hey, it wasn't. You're welcome,
here
everybody.
We are.
Hopefully we'll see you again if you're a patron for a bonus episode this week. And if you want to hear it, come and join us over at patreon.com/allthesmallgames. $5 a month is a way to say thanks for all the content you guys make, especially as you lose more and more work as the longer you're in lockdown. Very specific thing to think, but if you do want to solve that problem, in a way you are, by going to patreon.com/allthesmallgames. $5 a month gets you bonus content and access to our Discord if we haven't already sent it to you yet. Plus you can get in touch with the show at allthesmallgames@gmail.com for email. Twitter is @allthesmallgame, facebook.com/allthesmallgames, and individually we are @16tacos for John on Instagram and Twitter. He has been firing out some motherfucking jokes lately. It's wild. You've been, I guess that's when he's not playing indie games while nursing his baby, you are just tweeting up a storm.
It's another thing I can do with my left hand while feeding Olive is have a dumb thought pop into my head and translate it to through the Twitter app.
It's been some good shit lately. I'm LevDog, LevDawg, and if you want to hear my voice regularly on other podcasts, you can on the podcast Hey Fam and Serious Issues, all of which are on Sans Pants. While you're at sanspantsradio.com, why not go subscribe to our good friends over at Thumb Cramps, Joel, and Jackson, doing a weekly video games podcast there that sometimes we guest on. And we love them. And we love you. Thanks so much for listening. Stay safe and see you next time.
Bye, everyone.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently, so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing in context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has two limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code MOM.